everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week, I got to chat with actor Galen Howard. Galen is most well known for things like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Book of Boba Fett, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's also a huge horror fan. We talked about how he got into horror late in life, why he loves anthology horror the most, and how it serves as catharsis for him now. He also told me what it was like to be in horror movies. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people to find us. I think that's it, so let's get into my conversation with Galen Howard. I'm joined this week by actor Galen Howard. He is most well known for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Book of Boba Fett, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We connected on Instagram and I'm super excited to chat. So let's bring Galen on. Hey, Galen, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. I can do all of that. Yeah, I'm an actor in Los Angeles. I'm from the NorCal region originally. I've been down here about a little over 10 years. And yeah, I've I started out in theater and independent film, and I've done a lot of, as you said, a handful of, television film projects down here. And I've done, a handful of horror films over the years as well. And that's kind of how I got, kind of my appreciation and, and interest in horror kind of grew out of that a little premature, delayed kind of love affair with horror. And yeah, so I have a lot of affection for the genre and all its subgenres.
Awesome. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh boy. There's so many. I mean, I think the first scary movie that I really had a strong affection for was, I think it still holds up to this day, is American Werewolf in London.
Nice. I saw that for the first time a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Very cool. So I know you just said you were sort of a late bloomer into horror. Mm-hmm, how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
Well, a good friend of mine was for many years writing and working in horror, and I worked on a handful of films with him. And so he was very much at that time, seeing all the horror movies, staying very up to date with everything that came out, and re-exploring a lot of older films. So he was, from working with him in the genre and discussing a lot of those films, and then, we would go to a lot of those films together. And I'm a bit of a scaredy cat. I have a fairly low tolerance for, high tension scenes. So he would sometimes take me to horror films just to see my reaction to them, and just to see me kind of, put my hands over my eyes or roll up into a ball in the movie seat. So yeah, so it kind of grew out of that.
What a good friend.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So why do you think people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
Because I think it's, and I'm sure I'm, I can't be the, you know, the, you know, the, you know, in the minority people who've said this, but it's like, I think there is a sort of catharsis that happens by watching horror, by engaging in horror. I think by touching on things that are dark, exploring that kind of darkness, in an outside element, there is that kind of catharsis. You kind of exorcise that kind of darkness. It allows it to, you kind of take that darkness and like put it somewhere where you can look at it. And, so I think there is something kind of subversively therapeutic about horror in that way. And you create a barrier between yourself and those things, and you kind of let it sit out there and do its thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great answer. What is your favorite subgenre in horror?
There's a number of them, but I think the one I have the most affection for is the anthology horror genre.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I think there's just been so many cool things done with that. You know, everything from, you know, Creepshow to the original the British Amicus films, even things like Tales from the Hood and some of the other films that have come out recently that, you know, that kind of explore that genre, like Southbound and, you know, Trick or Treat and XX and, you know, things like that. I love how it kind of harkens back to the, you know, this, you know, storytelling roots. You know, on a lot of the originals, it's often, you know, people gathering to tell stories. And I think there's something just so primal about that. And there's a lot of, you know, wonderful kind of wraparounds. And it kind of really goes back to the roots of storytelling, which I think is really cool.
Very cool. I have seen Trick or Treat. I think I watched it last year, but I think that's the only anthology horror I've seen. I think I tried. I tried watching Scare Package, and I just didn't really get into it. But
yeah, I saw that one. It's certainly not the best of the genre, and probably not like a good intro to the genre. I think, yeah. Well, you have a lot of great films ahead of you. Anything from the British anthologies of the 60s and 70s. I mean, Creepshow is a classic. So yeah, a lot of good ones in the genre.
All right, cool. I'll have to check some of them out.
Absolutely.
On the flip side, what's your least favorite subgenre in horror?
Probably like torture porn. I think there are some of those that do, you know, that have done some interesting things, but yeah, I think when horror just gets nasty for its own sake, I don't think it really, you know, serves the genre and legacy well.
Okay, yeah, definitely agree. I definitely don't like torture porn either. Who are your favorite horror directors?
Oh man, I mean, definitely. I mean, the classics. I love it, you know. I mean, you can't deny what Wes Craven has contributed to the genre, and you know, I think he's, you know, I mean, from his obvious, you know, obvious contributions to some of his more, you know, more obscure titles like People Under the Stairs and things like that. I mean, his work is, you know, kind of unparalleled at its heights. I love, John Carpenter, of course, George Romero, you know, all the greats, Argento. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't have any like super obscure people, to pull out of my hat. I really just give my hats off to the stalwarts, the greats, you know.
Yeah, definitely. An article had come out in 2020 during the pandemic that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
I hadn't read that. That's interesting. I think, and I would imagine both, because I think a lot of horror movie fans who are fairly, you know, kind of, you know, a lot of people in horror are kind of, you know, there are a lot of introverts in the horror community. And, you know, so I think that has a big part to do with it. I definitely became, you know, became much more aware of my introverted personality and tendencies in lockdown. And I think there's also a really, from what I've seen, there's also a really strong, you know, the online community in horror is really strong. And I mean, I think, you know, the way that people connect with each other in the horror community is really wonderful. So I think I saw a lot of people really, you know, really connect with each other in that way, you know, during lockdown. So, you know, I think, you know, that would be my thought on both those counts.
Definitely. I definitely agree. I realized how good I was at being by myself during the pandemic.
Same.
I feel bad for people who like can't be by themselves or do anything by themselves. I was like, oh, that must have been rough for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly on the other extreme. I can, you know, I'm somebody who kind of has to, I have to kind of force myself out in public sometimes, and then I'm usually okay. But it requires more heavy lifting, you know, than the people who just obsessively are, you know, always surrounding themselves with people, like, you know, like water and air.
Yeah, definitely. I can go out and talk to people, but then I like coming back and being.
I always need to strike the balance. Yeah.
So you have quite the extensive resume on IMDb, and I didn't get a chance to look into every movie and TV show that you've been in, but what are the horror movies that you've been in? Can you tell me about them?
Sure. Yeah. Some of the, the first that I was, that my friend was involved in was one of the, you know, kind of latter era found footage movies. And the filmmaker of that will probably, might chastise me for that because he doesn't necessarily consider it a found footage film, even though it definitely ticks a lot of those boxes, but it's called Children of Sorrow. And it's, you know, takes POV footage of a, like a religious suicide cult, it's kind of like a blend of like Jonestown and Manson Family. So, real uplifting stuff. And and that was incredible experience. It's still available. It came out from Lionsgate about 8 years back. And it's kind of an immersive approach to, kind of putting you in the middle of this cult, and kind of explores all the ways that kind of people are indoctrinated, and then how far that goes, and kind of how far they take their devotion, and kind of then what are the motivations of the people behind it. It's pretty interesting. Then I followed that up with another found footage movie for the, called Real Evil, which was a latter day entry from Full Moon, and people know them for, the Puppet Master series, and they kind of tout themselves on, very campy creature features. And so this is their one kind of found footage entry. So I was in that, and it was basically like a take on like a Grave Encounters, or, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then I've actually done a couple anthologies. I did one called American Nightmares. It was actually by Rusty Cundiff and Darren Scott, who did the Tales from the Hood. And that was, really, really fun kind of film. They, their brand is kind of this social justice, kind of social commentary horror. So each kind of story was taking on kind of everything from religious televangelists to kind of the, kind of far right extremists to just kind of everything in between. And then I did a holiday horror anthology called Deathcember. And which was really fun, kind of taking kind of an advent calendar of like 24 stories for each day up until Christmas, I had a bunch of great directors throwing down, like Ruggero Deodato and Lucky McKee, and then the piece I was in was kind of an homage to the giallo murder mysteries of the 70s.
Oh, cool! That's awesome. What is it like to film a horror movie? I know that it's probably not scary at all, but so.
Yeah, I mean, I think, my first introduction to horror was, the guy who directed Children of Sorrow, Jordan McClure, was one of the most considerate, kind, and generous directors that I've worked with. And, I've certainly worked with up to that point, and he still stands out as someone who just had so much care and compassion for his actors. And, and I think you find that, especially when things go so, the films that go so much to the extreme, the directors, the ones who continue working and really are successful, you find that they have so much compassion and respect for their actors and their willingness to go to those extremes. And so when you're really going to these really dark places and doing, a lot of things that are fairly, shoots that are fairly strenuous, that ask a lot of you both emotionally and often physically. I mean, there's really, I think, of course, safety on all measures is so important, and feeling feeling respected, feeling valued, and feeling like, yeah, you're in a safe space to go to those vulnerable places, and you know, to kind of, you know, and to be in kind of physically taxing environments. And so yeah, I mean, in the, you know, in the most part, yeah, I mean, it's very, it's certain, you know, being working in horror can be, you know, exhausting, and you know, but also a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I think, you know, the people that I, like I've said before, there's a real family in, you know, a family environment in horror. There's a, you know, there's a lot of love in the horror community. And so, I mean, yeah, I've made a lot of long lasting friendships, you know, from those movies. And yeah, I mean, the experience has always been really positive.
Awesome. Is there any kind of horror movie that you'd like to be in the future, or any horror director that you'd like to work with?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I would love to do just a like a straight up creature feature. That would be a lot of fun. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to work with like kind of animatronics or like visual effects, you know, or heavy green screen kind of things, or things like that. So you know, to be able to, you know, to work in something that goes to that kind of extreme would be awesome. And you know, there are so many great directors doing exciting things right now. I love what Larry Fessenden does in his kind of community at Glass Eye Picks, and the kind of, you know, kind of stable of directors that have kind of built up under him, and then other, you know, proteges of his like Mickey Keating and Jess Wexler and things like that. Like they're really great. I love the work they do. Yeah, and then just people doing like really just, you know, doing like really bold stuff, like Stephen Kostansky, who did the Psycho Gore Man, and you know, stuff just like really wacky stuff like that.
Awesome. What's your favorite creature feature?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I mean, Gremlins is, you know, you really can't go wrong with that. I think that there's going to be some others. You give me 10 minutes, I'll be like, oh my god, there's that one too. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Gremlins is the one that really started it off. I think, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Since your first horror movie that you did was a cult horror movie, have you seen any other cult horror movies?
Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, ours came out around the same time as Ty West, The Sacrament. And so I've seen that one, you know, I think, you know, inevitably, you know, the two kind of got compared because they came out around the same time. But I've seen others, like, you know, The Invitation and things like that. I know there've been some others that have come out recently, but yeah, what others have come out since then?
Midsommar.
Right. Oh, of course. Yes,
wrong,
of course.
Yeah. Wrong Turn that came out.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've heard that's really good.
I really liked it.
Oh yes, of course. Of course. I'm brain farting, but yes, I know I've seen, you know, the both The Endless and Midsommar were quite good. I like both of those.
The Lodge.
Lodge, that's right. Yeah, I haven't seen The Lodge yet. I heard that's great.
It's on
Hulu, right?
Yeah.
Or, HBO. Oh, HBO. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no, it might be Hulu. Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Hulu. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will check that one out. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. There's been such a growing interest in cults. I mean, even, you know, just in the last several years, you know, I mean, it seems like there continues to be this interest and fascination in cults, you know, and then first, you know, all the exposure of Scientology, and you know, then all the exposure of the NXIVM cults and the NXIVM cult and those documentaries, all those exposés. Yeah, I mean, it just kind of seems to be like a, you know, kind of never ending kind of, you know, trough of inspiration and creativity for people.
Yeah, definitely. Would you consider QAnon a cult?
Oh boy. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's so much frenzy around that. I mean, you know, I haven't done a lot of investigation as far as like, you know, how they operate internally. I mean, certainly on the outside, like they're extremist behavior certainly, and the, you know, the kind of fervor they get people into is certainly has cult like proper qualities for sure. I mean, the way that it's tricky, like with the kind of brainwashing that's like that you see online and that sort of thing. It's like kind of people there's there's these kind of like cult of personalities. That's why I've become another term now, is just like cult of personality, where it's like, you know, everything, there's all this information, you know, stemming around like from one source, one person or one source, and then everyone just kind of gets kind of sucked into that and kind of in that feedback loop. But, you know, but there isn't necessarily a like a cult infrastructure as far as like the indoctrination and then kind of the way that they kind of keep people, you know, kind of suck people into it, kind of keep people into it. That's hard to say. I think the jury's still out on whether or not it's a full blown cult or not.
Okay.
I mean, what do you think?
I think it kind of is.
It definitely has a full cult. It definitely behaves like a cult. I know there's almost like a checklist as far as those things, but as far as like, you know, how they, you know, how a cult will indoctrinate people and how it, you know, like you see in like NXIVM and others, you know, and Scientology, you know, you get in, you can't get out, you know, and I don't necessarily see that. And it's hard to see if there's that quality to it. You know, I think there's so much fervor and such that people just kind of get sucked into it and, you know, and just kind of go along for the ride. But yeah, it definitely behaves like a cult for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I have to ask this whenever the invitation comes up, when would you have left during the party?
Oh boy. That's a good question. I'm trying to remember the beats, the specific beats of it. I would like to think like, you know, in the, you know, somewhere in the first act. How about you?
I would not have gone. I would have told my boyfriend to, if he wants to go, he probably shouldn't, but go and then tell me if you need a ride. I don't think you should be going to see your ex-wife who's been out of the country for 3 years and is now back. And you don't know why she's having a party.
Yeah, that's right. Cause yeah, those are the two outsiders. I think, yeah, that's kind of a big red flag to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people say after they showed the video of the person dying, that is when they would have passed out.
Yeah. I think generally like if an estranged ex invites you, to their house out of nowhere. Yeah. You maybe think twice about that.
Yeah, I think that should be like a rule for life. Somebody can put that on like a cross stitch. That'd be great.
Yeah, right.
How do you decide what horror movie you want to watch when you're just hanging out and looking for something to watch?
It'll depend on my mood. You know, again, if it's, you know, it'll depend on the genre. There's, you know, it'll depend on what's kind of been on my list, high on my list. You know, I'll usually kind of like, you know, gauge it, you know, on the you know, the kind of level of intensity and, you know, versus kind of what I'm, you know, versus kind of my mood at the time. And, you know, if it's something that's really disturbing, really tense, it'll all kind of depend on my mood, you know, just kind of, you know, you kind of gauge the two and see where it lines up.
Nice. Are you planning on watching anything this weekend?
Trying to think. I didn't have anything on my list as far as horror. I think I started watching the new VHS 94 on Shudder. There's a few others on Shudder I've wanted to see. I've been meaning to watch Jacob's Wife. I've heard really good things about that. I'll do the browse and then usually kind of decide from there. And then like a lot of people, you know, I'll spend about, you know, half the evening browsing and then the other half, you know, watching the actual thing that I watch.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people say they do. So.
Yep.
So you live in LA. Have you ever been to any haunted locations in LA or, you know, around that area?
A little bit, yeah. None of like the classic spots. I've driven by certain locations. I think in the first year I was there, I I I drove by the Manson murder house. There was, you know, that Full Moon horror film I did was actually shot at a, I'm blanking on it, but it was shot in an old hospital in East LA that was rumored to be haunted. And I think it's been torn down since then. I'm blanking on what that one was called. Yeah, I haven't done a lot of like the classic, you know, haunted locations, the classic spots, but I need to for sure.
Cool. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
Yeah. Well, again, I'm sure there's a few that I'm not interested. There are definitely some that there's a lot of movies that I probably won't revisit again. I don't. And again, like it's usually things that are fairly, the really gruesome, torturous stuff. A lot of like the torture porn stuff. I won't watch a Serbian film. I'm not going to watch the human centipede stuff or things like that. That just doesn't interest me. Probably. I don't really have any interest in seeing things like, House of Thousand Corpses again, though I do appreciate a lot of what Rob Zombie does, but yeah, like that's not something I need to see again, that sort of thing. Anything, again, just things like that put those kind of images in your head that you can't erase. Or I think I saw the scene in like a clip anthology at one time, but like there's that one, that one Lucio Fulci film, like City of the Living Dead or something, where a girl like pukes out all her intestines. Mm. Like, I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah. So, that kind of thing.
So I don't know if you've gotten back to going to movie theaters, but have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
That's a good question. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I think I remember. It's more of like a sci-fi thriller than a horror. But there's that. What was that? That movie, the Richard Kelly movie, The Box. Is that what it's called? The James Marsden and Cameron Diaz.
Oh yeah, The Box.
I remember seeing that in the theater. Yeah, I saw that at the ArcLight Theater, and I remember David Spade was in the audience and had like an usher like guide him to his seat so everyone could see. Yeah, so that was funny. Yeah, even like it was like a fairly empty theater, but he like still had like the person guide him to the seat. Yeah, that was pretty amusing. And then I saw the 40th anniversary of Texas Chainsaw Massacre which was great. I saw it at the historical Vista Theater here in Los Angeles, and there was a great talk with William Friedkin interviewing Toby Hooper before he passed. That was really cool. That was a great experience. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few. I've gotten to see a few films in festival and that sort of thing. Those are, the horror festivals, are always a great time. That's that sort of thing. Yeah, those two immediately come to my mind though.
Yeah, those are great picks. That's not fun. What has been your favorite horror movie that you've seen in 2022 so far?
Let's see, what have I seen? That's a good question. I'm trying to think what I've even seen so far. I haven't seen a lot of horror movies this year. I'm trying to think.
Did you see X?
I haven't seen X yet. I really want to see X. I hear that's incredible. I'm really excited to see that. So, hopefully that will be one of my picks. I hope to see that very soon. Yeah.
All right, so you have some homework.
I do. I absolutely do.
So on the flip side, do you have a horror movie that you're most looking forward to seeing in the rest of 2022?
Thank you. That's a good question. That one, I'm trying to think what's coming out. Well, I am excited to see the reboot, the kind of remake of Toxic Avenger.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I did not even know that was coming out.
Yeah. I think that's having its premiere soon. Yeah, so that will be coming out. I think this year. So that's pretty cool. I'm definitely excited for that. And I'm curious about Renfield only to see Nick Cage play Dracula. How can you not love that? I mean, that's, you know, if there's more perfect casting, I don't know it.
Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like, or do you have any hot takes about horror movies?
Let's see. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, there are some that I certainly, get excited about more than other people do. I think Class of 1984 is a massively underrated horror film.
Okay. Kind
of, it's more like exploitation. It's more of like, you know, grisly drama, you know, like, you know, had some really brutal kills in that movie. But I think a film like that is really interesting. What else? I have to say, I kind of prefer Gremlins 2 over Gremlins 1.
I've heard that Gremlins 2 is good.
I think it's a great sequel. I think it's brilliant because it was a sequel that, for all accounts, shouldn't have been made, and the filmmakers kind of were aware of that going into it, and so they made something that was just kind of, you know, complete and utter anarchy, and I think it's brilliant for that.
Very cool.
You know, I think it was one that kind of, it is a very self-aware movie, which I very much appreciate.
Awesome. I will have to finally watch it, because I think when I bought Gremlins 1 on DVD, I think it came with the second one.
Exactly. Yeah, that one. I'm also, now that I'm thinking about sequels, I love batshit crazy movies. So I have a definite affection for that kind of aesthetic. So I'm an unabashed fan of Halloween 3. I think that film is absolute insanity, and it's stupid and nonsensical and insane. And I love it for all of those things.
Awesome. I saw that for the first time this past October.
So. Yeah. For spooky season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very different from the other Halloweens that I've
Yes, it, it, yes, that, yeah, very, very much so. Yes. I think it's been removed enough from the franchise now for people that people can appreciate it as its own thing, because I mean, it has absolutely nothing to do with the franchise. And that was, that was the whole point behind it. And it's kind of great for that reason.
If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. I've thought about this. Oh, yes. I think especially now in our current climate, I would love to see Maniac Cop be remade.
I've never seen the original, but it sounds crazy.
It was a Larry Cohen script. Yeah, great. Yeah, wild film for sure. Definitely kind of a grindhouse kind of, you know, crazed maniac movie. It's great. Yeah, I think, you know, especially now with, you know, with the current uprising against the police. I think, you know, exposure of police corruption. I think that film is ripe for a remake.
Awesome. Now I want it to be remade when you phrase it like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
My last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Oh boy. Oh boy. That's a good question. I don't know, maybe Grace Jones' character from Vamp.
Okay.
That could be fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah, for sure. I think you can find me. I'm on Twitter at @Galen_Howard_, and on Instagram, much more simply, @GalenHoward.
Awesome. Well, thank you again.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Galen Howard, and thanks again to Galen for coming on. I'll leave links to his socials in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod or on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and get vaccinated.